Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. Low carb, locally grown, paleolithic. We human beings pay a lot of attention to how and what we eat. And so it's probably no surprise that we're paying a lot of attention to how we feed our pets, too. From kibble to raw rabbit, supermarkets and pet stores are full of a growing number of choices for feeding cats and dogs. The care and feeding of America's 164 million cats and dogs has spawned a multi-billion dollar commercial pet food industry and inspired at least one famous song.
Smelly cat, smelly cat.
Okay, then. Marion Essel, the NYU professor who's been a guest on this show many, many times to talk about food issues for people, has joined forces with animal nutrition expert Maldon Nesheim. And they are with me today, and they've written a wonderful new book, Feed Your Pet Right. They're joining me now. Welcome back to the show, Marion and Mal, and to WNYC.
Glad to be here.
Thank you.
All right. So what is the first lesson? Should we not assume that dogs and cats have the same nutritional needs as we do?
Well, they don't have the same nutritional needs. The differences are quite slight, and they're accounted for by complete and balanced pet foods that you buy commercially in the pet food stores. If you're cooking for your pet yourself, you have to account for those differences.
Well, I know that my big, fluffy golden retriever can't have any of my chocolate bar or raisins, but isn't that about it? I mean, are there any other no-nos for dogs?
Macadamia nuts.
Macadamia nuts.
I wouldn't give him those. They're too expensive.
I wouldn't either.
Large amount of grapes, onions and garlic in, I think, big quantities.
And what about cats? Are cats sturdier than dogs? Are they, because I have to admit I have some of those too, do they have allergic reactions to things as well, or are they able to eat pretty much anything?
Well, I mean, cats have are a bit more fastidious in their nutritional requirements.
So they know better. They know to say no.
Well, I don't know whether they know to say no or not. I mean, I think I would have the same cautions about feeding these things to cats as I would to dogs.
Hmm. I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer, and I'm speaking with Marion Essel and Maldon Nesheim about the feeding of cats and dogs. And Mal and Marion have agreed graciously to take some calls. So if you have a question about pet food, how did you pick what you feed your cat and dog? We'd like to hear about that. Do you actually feed your pet what you eat? You can admit it. Call us 212-433-WMYC, 212-433-9692. I actually know some people who cook for their animals. Marion, you say in the book that you got two reactions from people when you told them about the book. Some people said, great, I really need that book. But a lot of people said, with all the starving children in the world, how can we worry about what we're feeding our animals? So what do you say to the second group of people?
Well, I tell them that basically it's the same food supply, that one of the things that pet foods do is to use the products of human food consumption that we don't eat. Otherwise, we throw away half the cow and some percentage of each chicken and sheep that gets slaughtered for human food. So in a sense, this is extremely ecological thing to do, is to feed them to your pet, because otherwise they would be put in landfills or turned into fertilizer or these days turned into biofuel, all of which are not particularly ecologically useful.
So, Mal, this is kind of part of the environmental movement, right? If you have a pet, they can help you be more efficient.
Well, that's true. I mean, we have to do something with all of the materials that Marianne referred to. And feeding them back to pets is a good source of protein. It keeps pets from competing with us in the food supply, because we've calculated that the calories that the pets that we have in this country if they fed exactly what we ate on, they would have to there'd have to be another 42 million people fed.
It would be the equivalent of feeding another 42 million people for the 172 million cats and dogs in America.
That's right.
New York Magazine did a long piece on dogs recently that basically said that if and as fewer of us have families and children, pets are going to be more important, and we're going to start spending more and paying more attention to them. Is that what you find when you start looking at this pet food issue?
Oh, yes. I mean, one of the big movements in the pet food business today is the fact that it's called humanization. And so people love their pets and they feel they're a member of the family. And they they're very concerned about what they feed them.
They adore their pets and will do anything for them. And that creates an enormous market. And a lot of what pet food is about selling to this market.
Marion, how is this book different, though, from your book, What to Eat?
Well, it's an extension of What to Eat. It's basically What to Eat for Pets, which means it discusses every issue that we could possibly think of that deals with pet feeding, whether you should pick organic, whether you should do kosher, is it okay to eat grains, do people eat pet food? I don't know. We tried to think of every single thing that we could think of that people would be interested in and to research it. So what's different about our book, I think, is it's based on research. What a concept.
Let's take a call from Leah. Leah, you're on WMYC. Leah's in Manhattan, and you're on with Marion and Mel.
Hi, how are you?
Go ahead.
I was just asking, when I got my cats, the woman I adopted them from told me to watch out for certain brands because they had been recalled. I'm talking about store-bought dry cat food. And she advised me that lots of cat foods, they use fillers like ash in the dry food. And I was just wondering what kinds of dangerous things are in cat foods that we tend to buy in the stores that we should look out for.
What does she mean by ash, Mel?
Minerals.
Yeah, it's minerals. It's minerals that is a term used for the mineral matter that's in foods, in animal feeds, actually, because pet foods are regulated like animal feeds.
It's not what comes out of fireplaces. It has to do with the way the foods are tested for their nutrient composition, and it just means minerals. Those are good in pet food.
That's right.
So what about the answer to Leah's question? What should she be looking out for when she looks for the food for her cats?
Well, I think one of the things that has brought this to the forefront is the problem with the pet food recalls that took place a couple of years ago. And actually, Marion has a book about that.
Politics about the melamine recall.
And the subtitle's terrific, The Chihuahua in the Coal Mine.
Ah, yes. We were warning that if they didn't pay attention to melamine in pet food, it was going to end up in human food. And, of course, it did in Chinese infant formula. I hate to be right all the time, but there it was.
So do go on, Mel. What should she be looking out for?
Well, I think she should look for one of the brands in the stores that is one of the major brands that is available. We like to think that cats probably ought to be fed a wet cat food. We like to feed wet cat foods. It's easier to maintain their weight. It's easier to make them have enough water. And
that's cans or pouches.
It's a canned pet foods, right.
And what about this issue of the recall? I mean, you did write the Pet Food Politics book, but how is the pet food industry regulated? What's changed since that pet food recall back in 2007?
Oh, dear.
If anything.
Oh, dear. Well, immediately after the recall, the pet food industry really rose to the challenge and started checking the sources of its ingredients and so forth. But I think there's been some backsliding, and I'm a little bit concerned about that. We think that pet food ought to be regulated the same way that human food is, by the same agency within the FDA. Right now it's regulated by the Center for Veterinary Medicine, which is trying to do the best job it possibly can, but it doesn't have the regulatory power to do that. And we're hoping that if the new food safety legislation ever gets out of the Senate, it covers pet food and it'll take care of some of these issues.
You mentioned the wet cat food, but we have Peter C. in Paramus asking about the same for dogs. Could you please discuss the differences between dry and moist dog food? Do you recommend the same for dogs, Mal?
Well, I think that dogs will do well on either a dry dog food or a canned one. And it depends a lot on your preferences of your pet and how you and how they take to the individual foods. It's still generally true that canned foods or wet foods are a little easier to maintain body weight. And one of the big issues about pets is obesity, just like it is
especially in
people.
Especially in urban environments.
In urban environments where they don't have much activity. So I think it's important to be able to watch your pet's weight. And however you do it, either by feeding them, don't overfeed them the dry kibble, or making sure that perhaps one that's a little more dilute by having a lot of water in it, like canned pet foods do.
Which is what you're paying for when you buy wet pet
right.
food.
Oh, I think we have someone here who might endorse your view. Ricardo, you are yeah. on with Mal and Marion on WMYC.
Hi. Yes, that's right. I had a cat that I was feeding a combination of some wet food and dry food sort of to appease them during the day. And one of the cats was vomiting constantly, like explosively. It was really quite horrifying. And then I did some reading online about how a lot of dry food has a lot of grain in it that can cause allergies for cats. So I took them completely off the wet food, and there hasn't been any explosive vomiting since.
So you have the
cure, and he had lost a lot of weight, I think, due to the vomiting. Now on the wet food, he's gained his weight back, and the other cat, who is really fat, has started losing weight.
So you're suggesting, Ricardo, the wet food is the way to go?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I feel that I have to play that Lisa Kudrow smelly cat song again.
It was like The Exorcist every other day, literally.
Okay. We get it. We get it. I'm sorry you had to live through that, but now that you've shared it with our listeners, maybe someone else can avoid
well, we think this
that
is,
experience.
You know, this is really great because we think people really need to pay attention to how their pets respond to food and, you know, kind of work with the pets to get something that works for them and for the animal.
But, you know, what's interesting about the book is it seems that there are some lessons we can learn as human beings about being intelligent about the way we eat as well.
Oh, yeah. We say that if we ate the way pets are supposed to eat, we would all be a lot healthier.
Yes. Let's take a call from Hamden in Queens. Hamden, you're on WMYC.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I also stopped feeding my dog commercial food after the melamine scare. And I was talking to my vet, and he was saying that, and I did some other research, that dogs, unlike wolves, didn't really evolve to hunt. They sort of evolved to eat human, you know, mm-hmm. they self-domesticated, eating human garbage, more or less. So, mm-hmm. So what he was saying is, like, feeding them just meat, which I think a lot of people think dogs eat, isn't really right. And he was saying one-third meat, one-third vegetable, one-third starch. And is that right? And then just a quick comment. Oddly enough, it's cheaper than pet food to just cook them a little, you know, like cheap chicken and rice. And
yeah, we actually have a recipe in the book that's very similar to what you suggest, a kind of a generic recipe for dog food and a generic recipe for cat food if you're going to cook for your pet yourself.
So you're cooking up a meal, Hamden, every day?
I make big batches and freeze it, so it's really not inconvenient. But the funny thing is, it's cheaper than dog food.
That's amazing. And how Hamden, thank you very much for the call. I do wonder, and Mal, I'll ask you if you've encountered this a lot. How many people do you think actually cook for their pet? I can't find time to cook for myself. In fact, New Yorkers tend not to be, and I'd say in the tri-state area this is the case, right?
Yeah.
Big on time in the kitchen.
I don't think we have very good data on how many people cook for their pets. I've seen figures in the neighborhood of 10 to 20%. But, again, there are not very good surveys that give us a real good answer on this.
Do you have any sense? Do you agree that we're not big cooks in the tri-state area, your experience as a human food writer?
Yes, but people will cook for their pets before they will cook for themselves. Or their children, for that matter.
But no sense of how prevalent this is.
Yeah, it's roughly 10 to 20% is what all of the surveys show, but it's very hard to get good data on this.
Well, let's take a look at what Brenda writes in. She says, my six-month-old golden shepherd killed and ate a wild turkey chick this morning.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Wait, there's a question. There's a question. Should I be concerned? I don't know, Mal. Should you? This cuts against what Hamden said about dogs not really being wolves.
This one is, apparently.
Well, should Brenda be concerned? What do you think?
No, I think that poor little wild turkey chick is it will not be harmful to your dog. He probably thought it was a pretty good snack.
Well, that takes me right to Mike in Greenwich, Connecticut. Mike, you have a question that's kind of relevant, don't you?
Yeah, I would probably count among one of those who doesn't cook for their pet, even though I cook a lot for myself, with the exception of the small portion of eggs that I gave my dog this morning. But I give my dog a mix of kibble and raw, either rabbit or chicken or turkey. And I wondered what your guests thought about that, what their views on that were.
Well, there were some facial expressions. I hope I'm not betraying any confidences to say it. Wants to take it, Mal?
Yeah, I'll take it. I mean, raw, there's a substantial movement in pet feeding about feeding raw
movement.
Diets. There's nothing really wrong with feeding them raw meats. The only thing you have to worry about is to make sure that raw rabbit doesn't bring into the house some salmonella or other dangerous organisms that might infect your family. Mm. And that's our major concern about raw feeding in pets.
And that's a concern in people too, right, Mary?
Yeah, the pets don't get sick from these bacterial diseases the way that people do. And so if you've got young kids in your house or elderly people with bad immune systems, you really have to be a little bit more careful if you're feeding raw.
And we do have a lot of questions on this. It's a little bit of time we have left. Is it worth it to pay extra for special needs foods?
You want to look at the first five ingredients, and I think it depends a lot on what the special needs are. Certainly, if you've got an animal with bad kidney function, it's not a bad idea to use one of those products for kidneys. For a lot of them, that really doesn't make a whole lot of difference. And if you read the ingredient list and the ingredients look all the same, then, you know, you just get the one you like the best out of that collection.
As with everything else, ask your veterinarian.
And ask your veterinarian.
All right. Well,
and hope that your veterinarian knows something about feeding pets, because they're not taught very well about it.
And, of course, get the book.
And buy our book.
We'll have to leave it there. I'm Jamie Floyd, filling in for Brian Lehrer. I've been speaking with Marion Nessel, and she is the Paulette Goddard Professor in the Department of Nutrition, Food Studies, and Public Health at New York University, and Malden Nesheim, Professor Emeritus of Nutritional Sciences at Cornell. Their new book is Feed Your Pet Right, the authoritative guide to feeding your dog and cat. It's been such a treat to have you both. Thank you for joining us today. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in.